7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with our final episode of the NFC North, and it is none other than the division leading, winning champions, the Green Bay Packers.
Hi, Josh. Nice to see you today.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too good. We're getting towards the end of the NFC North. We have to talk about the Green Bay Packers, who I hate, so kind of miserable, actually.
I'm pretty pumped to be talking about a very good football team. Football team with, in my opinion, the best quarterback in football right now. I'm happy. They had a very exciting draft, unlike some teams in the NFC North. But it should be a good episode.
The Green Bay Packers won their division by one game. They ended up 10-6, and they were 6-2 at home, 4-4 on the road, 5-1 in their division. Again, they did not sweep the division. There were new brooms out there. But 5-1, very, very good. And they scored 432 points. That is very, very
good. That's extremely good. Yeah.
It was a weird season for the Packers, because we saw them go through like a big part of the season where they struggled. We saw them get beat by the Indianapolis Colts at Lambeau. Following week, they got blown out by the Titans in Tennessee, but they came back at the end of the season, played real hot, and Aaron Rodgers pretty much carried that team and lit the world on fire.
Yeah, they did what the Packers tend to do. No matter if they're within 2 to 3 to 4 games approaching the end of the season, they're going to find a way to make it work. A 6-game winning streak to end the season and make it all the way to the NFC Championship game, where they end up getting torched by the Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, like you said, a plus 44 point differential, 432 points, almost just under 100 points for more than the second best, which was the Detroit Lions at 346. That's a big number. So the Packers are still, I'm reading things at the same time. The Packers are still, you know, in my eyes, by far the big time favorite going into this year.
Well, let's talk about some of the guys that they lost this offseason, which could change that outcome. I'm going to first start off with safety, Micah Hyde. He ends up going to Buffalo. He ends up going there for a 5-year deal, $30 million. They also lost guard TJ Lang. He goes to the Detroit Lions. Again, we covered that in our last episode with the Detroit Lions. 3-year deal there. J.C. Treader, he ends up going to the Cleveland Browns, center. Young guy, 3 years, $16 million. And then tight end Jared Cook, a guy that I thought was still going to stay around because he had a very good connection with Aaron Rodgers towards the end of the season. He ends up leaving, going to the Oakland Raiders, 2-year deal, $10 million. And then we got Cheeseburger Eddie. He went to the Seattle Seahawks for a 1-year prove-it deal. And Julius Peppers going back to the promised lands of the Carolina Panthers. And they cut backup running back Christian Michael.
It was a pretty typical year for the Green Bay Packers in free agency. Lost quite a few guys and didn't sign too many big time guys out there. But like you said with the Jared Cook, I was absolutely shocked they let him go. Especially, he didn't sign a huge deal. I believe they paid Martellus Bennett more, which you're about to mention. But Jared Cook and Aaron Rodgers, those two were unreal. Especially in the playoffs together. That one catch in the playoffs against the Cowboys on that, I think it was a fourth down or a third down and a lot of yards.
Oh, it was a lot, yeah.
But it was a fantastic play, and it kind of showed what Aaron Rodgers could do with a very athletic and productive tight end.
The Packers' weapons, Aaron Rodgers, you know, being the head of that offense, he will have a ton of weapons around him, be able to sling the ball around. I am not happy at all with the losses that they had on the offensive side of the football if I'm the Green Bay Packers. That offensive line, listen, Aaron Rodgers has taken a ton of sacks in the past already. This is a line that was familiar with one another. Those were two of the anchors of this offensive line, and they're losing both of them. I'm concerned. Listen, it seemed like the Chicago Bears are bad, but they're going to be able to get after Aaron Rodgers with this offensive line.
Let's talk about some of the guys that they did acquire in the offseason. And we talked about the loss of Cook, but they ended up getting Martellus Bennett, a 3-year deal, $21 million, quite a bit of money, 30 years old. And then they also got tight end Lance Kendricks, 2-year deal, $4 million. I think Lance Kendricks is very underrated in a sense. He's never been that premier tight end, that go-to guy. But he kind of reminds me a lot of Richard Rodgers, the other tight end that Green Bay does have on the roster. So adding two tight ends was very shocking for me with the Packers.
Yeah, I think overall they got better at that position, at the tight end spot. I wouldn't be surprised seeing them run more two tight end sets. Kendricks is definitely underrated. He put up decent numbers last year with Jared Goff throwing the football. He has never had anyone like Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position. He could put up career numbers even with Martellus Bennett having a solid year as well.
Ted Thompson has been in Green Bay for a while now. He's made some really great moves. It's great what they did at tight end. Fantastic. But what is tight end to your team? You already have weapons. You already have... You know, some these tight ends are going to help a little bit in pass protection in the run game, but in the long run, I feel like this is the season that the Packers are going to go look back on and say, "Hey, you know what? We let one get away from us," because there's still a shoe-in for the NFC North, but I do not believe that they did enough to add to their team to beat the top teams in the NFC right now.
Another guy they added was corner Devin House. I thought that was a very good signing right there.
Yeah, he comes back to Green Bay. He left originally, went to Jacksonville, brought him back. Right now he's penciled in as the starter. They definitely needed help in their secondary. I think that was probably their biggest need, in my opinion, for free agency and the draft. Wasn't really shocked they didn't go out and try to spend big bucks on those premier cornerbacks that were out there. But House, he's a serviceable veteran, kind of that Bears move. You know, don't spend a lot of money and just get that veteran in and hope they could have a good season or two left with them.
Yeah, that's a win-now mode signing, right? I mean, they also addressed that position as well in the draft, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So I don't mind the pick. I liked, you know, like you said, Tom, if they can get a year or two out of House, it makes all the sense in the world.
Did you guys also see that Devin House missed his, I can't remember if it was his flight or his ride, and the fans drove him to Green Bay?
I did see that.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I did see that.
I think it was like an 11-hour car ride or something like that.
That's where it all came out. There's a bunch of things. There's different players. One player had been a $1,000 Uber ride to voluntary OTAs. There's a bunch of different rumors out there going around about here. It's crazy.
Another signing that they had was, I believe, D-end from Washington, Ricky Jean-Francois, 1-year deal, $2 million. I thought that was an underrated signing. It's a value guy, you know, just fill a need.
He's a nice rotational piece.
Yeah.
That's pretty much why he was brought in. Another old-time vet that's been successful playing in the 3-4 defense that the Packers primarily run. But he'll be going out there and giving, like, Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark that breath of fresh air when they need it.
All right, let's talk about some other guys that can make an impact. And where those guys come from are the 2017 NFL Draft.
The NFC North champion Green Bay Packers had some glaring needs on their roster after a successful season that saw their defense completely fall apart in the NFC Championship game against the Falcons. The Packers ended up trading out of the first round and had the first pick in the second round. With that selection, they took cornerback Kevin King from Washington. He has the potential to be a top-tier cornerback. He's 6'3", runs very well. He was in the low 4.4s for 40, but he's pretty raw. He struggles in press coverage. He's not good with his initial jam, and it's something he should be good at given his length and his size. He's normally at least the same height as receivers, in most cases bigger. He's at best in zone coverage, going to add some versatility to that secondary, though. He's going to be able to be moved around. He played a little bit of slot and safety at Washington as well. So he's going to help that Packers secondary unit out if there are injuries. this was the right pick for the Green Bay Packers. They didn't reach for anyone. They traded back, got additional picks, and I think they hit a home run with it.
I agree completely. This is the guy that I wanted for the Chicago Bears later in the draft. Did not work out that way. Instead, it went to our arch rival. Fantastic, perfect. I'll be able to sleep tonight. And like you said, he's still raw. He's got some things that he needs to work on, but he'll be able to contribute a little bit right away, and he's the guy that, after a year, after 2 years, he's the fill-in for Devon House long-term. So, love this pick for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I love the pick as well. I'm a big Kevin King fan, and to see him slide out of that first round and to land there in Green Bay, it's just, it's a, I don't want to say a perfect spot for him, but it's a very good landing spot.
The Green Bay Packers lost an important part of their defense in free agency when they lost Micah Hyde to the Buffalo Bills. They used their other second-round pick on a player that I think is going to replace him, and that's safety Josh Jones from North Carolina State. Packers have two very good safeties right now, Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett, but I think Jones is going to be used a lot different. He's going to be that in-the-box type safety like Hyde was last year. He's extremely athletic. He ran a faster 40 time than Kevin King. He was clocked at 4.41 seconds, which is very freaking good for a safety. He's going to be that in-the-box safety, like I said. Going to provide value in a lot of those sub packages that the Packers tend to run quite a bit. He'll be able to cover tight ends, slot receivers, running backs coming out of the backfield, and he'll be getting looks at a linebacker spot in the nickel and dime defenses.
Josh Jones is another guy exactly like the Kevin King pick. They're going to pick their spots to play him this year. He's not going to start, but he's going to be able to go out there, fill his role, and you know, Tom mentioned Morgan Burnett. He's going to be a free agent, I believe, after this year. So another guy who it's a future pick. You know, you have them. They learn under these guys. Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett right now are going to be the guys at safety. But if you can implement a guy like Josh Jones, have him learn under someone like Clinton Dix, who's still very young and has established himself as a dominant safety in the league in his just two or maybe 3 years. I think it's 3 years in the league. You know, you potentially can build a long-term secondary here.
Yeah, again, you guys kind of hit everything on the head right there, but he's also a guy that can come out and smack you in the face. He's a very physical guy. I've seen him play corner before. I've seen him play safety. He can cover multiple positions, so he's a guy that's going to come out and he'll hit you too. So it'll be interesting to watch him play.
In the third round, the Green Bay Packers selected defensive lineman Montrevious Adams from Auburn. Adams, he's very athletic for his size. Ran in the 4.8s at the combine. That's extremely impressive for a man. I think he's like 6'5", over 300 pounds. But he struggled a lot with consistency at Auburn. Doesn't have a strong motor. If you look at his highlight tape, you would think that this man was a top 10 pick. But when you watch his normal game film, the whole tape, you see a lot of inconsistency. He has awesome flashes, just stuff that completely sticks out. But he struggles a lot with his pad level, struggles a lot against double teams. He's not going to be a great run defender right away, but I think he could do damage as that pass rushing interior lineman. Throw him in on third and long, and he'll be able to do damage. But you pair him up, it'll be a nice little rotation with him, Mike Daniels, and Kenny Clark in Green Bay.
Montrevious Adams is one of those guys that you always look at and you're like, he should be so much more than he is. He shouldn't be a third round draft pick. He has so much potential, and being able to go to a place in Green Bay in their front front line there and be that rotation guy that Tom mentioned, be able to rotate, to get opportunities, to be successful. He's going to have to show that he can be a consistent force that he never was in Alabama. There were times at Alabama, at Auburn, where he was a world beater. He was absolutely dominant. There were times if you watch SEC football, you know who Montrevious Adams is. He's been in a lot of big games. He can be a very scary dude. And then there's other times you forget he's even playing. He is so hot and cold, even in college, that normally doesn't translate well into the NFL. He's going to get time to kind of feel his way into the NFL, and I feel like this could be an absolute steal for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, again, rotational guy. That's It's exactly what he's going to be. He's going to be a guy that, you know, he's going to come in and he's gonna fill a need. I mean, I look at Francois, right? He was brought in as rotational guy, older guy, 30 years old. I see Montrevis Adams coming in, kind of serving that same role. Can he convert into, like Tim said, a previous world beater? Can he be that guy that is counted on day in, day out, every snap? Maybe eventually, but I don't think that's what he was drafted for. He was just drafted to be that rotational piece.
Everyone thought that the Green Bay Packers were going to take T.J. Watt in the first round of the NFL draft. I wanted it. I'm pretty sure both of you mocked it as well at some point or another. But the Packers got the next best thing. They drafted T.J. Watt's teammate, Vince Beagle. Pretty similar player to T.J. Not as athletic, though. He's going to make this team. Versatile kid. I think he could line up in that Clay Matthews role, lining up as an inside backer. I think he's got the potential to do that. Very good, sound tackler. But he's also going to be asked to rush the passer. And I think he'll be successful at that. Pretty good value, though, in the fourth round for the Packers.
Is he going to be at all a special teams guy, Tom?
He should be, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I thought. That's what the role I saw for him. To start here, listen, he's not going to – you still have Nick Perry there at the linebacker position. He's still going to be behind a couple guys. He's going to get the opportunity to learn, probably play some special teams. I like the pick. I feel like he's a high upside guy. But like you said, not very athletic. He can tackle. He can hit. He's used to playing in that physical Big Ten style, you know, defense. So I like the pick. I just don't think that you'll see much of him until maybe next year.
I'm going to start off with a couple cons with him. Not many. He's undersized. That's mm-hmm. the big thing with him. Little slow, but it is what it is. He's got a good edge rush for the most part, but again, he's going to be a special teams guy. You'll throw him out there when you need him. Some of his pros: voted team captain.
Yep.
That's awesome. His name is Vince Beagle. It's a pretty badass name. He's also got his dad, Rocky, played linebacker, and his, I think it was his uncle or grandpa, one of the two, their name was TD. So, got a lot of things that are going for him. He's got some pretty good stuff. But again, one of those guys that drafted, hometown kid, you know, from around that area. So, I'm not going to hate the pick, but does it really serve that big need, that big purpose? No, not at that spot.
Every one of these NFC North teams that we have covered, I have had a favorite pick. Well, besides the Bears, because their draft was terrible.
Huh.
But in the fourth round, the Packers made a selection that I think is going to be a big-time difference maker for them. Running back Jamal Williams from BYU. I think it's a perfect fit for them and their system. He's a great pass blocker, something you don't see a lot out of rookie running backs. I think Williams, he was asked to do that a lot at BYU, and I think he truly excelled at that. I think that's going to garnish him some playing time early and often. He's very good. He'll be very good for the Packers at running their four-minute offense where they're trying to kill that clock, win the football game, and either trying to get in a field goal position or score that touchdown. But he's a big physical kid, kind of that battering ram type running back. Different style than Ty Montgomery. I think he's going to be their modern, well, I don't know if it's modern day Eddie Lacy type running back, that big physical guy who can win them football games.
This is why the Packers are who the Packers are, and the Detroit Lions are who the Detroit Lions are. The Green Bay Packers went, and after they filled out their defensive needs, they took an offensive player that is going to immediately step in and play a huge role. There is a chance, I would not be shocked at all, if Jamal Williams ends up being the, you know, taking the primary snaps at running back for the Packers by week five. I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's that prepared. He's that well prepared right now to go out there and take over the role from Ty Montgomery, who, listen, everything, all the, we'll talk about it more when we get to the fantasy aspect, but you know, it all the writing on the wall says he's not going to be the running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Ted Thompson had a plan, and the plan was to get better in the running game. Ty Montgomery is serviceable, but is he the guy? Absolutely not. There's a reason why they went out and got Jamal Williams. There's a reason why they went out and they got one Aaron Jones later on in the draft. But Jamal Williams is going to be a guy that I think can steal those first and second down carries.
Packers had a lot of late round draft picks. I'm going to cover three really quick, though. In the fifth, they got D'Angelo Yancey. He's going to be that big play threat from Purdue. Good size. In the fifth, Josh brought up Aaron Jones. I like him. He's a different style than Jamal Williams. Quick twitch runner, similar to Ty Montgomery. Montgomery has had issues with staying healthy, so Jones is, I think, going to be his backup.
The other thing with Aaron Jones is, I mean, this kid has broken off huge runs.
Oh, yeah. He's explosive, man.
Broke off 40-plus yard runs in 8 games last year. That's ridiculous. The only thing is that he just got to stay healthy. I believe he tore something in his ankle or his knee, is one or the other. It was during a practice, and it's frustrating. But this kid has also had over 4,000 yards in his career, rushing-wise. But he's a smaller guy, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So just like you said, he will probably be the backup to one Jamal Williams.
Yeah, it's a perfect 1-2 punch. The Packers were lucky that this running back class was so deep. Normally, a player like Aaron Jones wouldn't be available in the fifth round.
Yeah.
But because how deep the running back spot was, he was.
I love what the Packers did with the running back position. Knowing Ty Montgomery is not the guy, you've seen year after year now these smaller D1 school running backs. Someone breaks out every year almost, yep. It seems like, right? So they went to basically all the wells that are normally there. BYU, UTEP, and Utah State. I hate the Packers. I love what they did.
And the Packers got great value in the seventh, getting wide receiver Malachi Dupree. I was absolutely shocked he lasted this long. He wasn't used effectively at LSU at all. It was straight up a terrible offense for any college wide receiver, especially for someone as talented as this kid. He was one of the most highly recruited wide receiver coming out of high school. Absolute steal. And I wouldn't be surprised if this kid makes a team in 2 to 3 years. He's the next Davante Adams.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about Malachi. I remember I've watched him a lot. I watched a ton of SEC football. So I did not break down a bunch of his tape. I can definitely see him. Like you said, he seems like the prototypical just fill-in Packers wide receiver, good hands, makes some good plays after the catch. But I don't know. Like you said, maybe a year or two from now, it's a possibility to see him down the road.
Yeah, it's tough because I thought he was going to run a better 40 time. He ran a 40 of 4.52. I thought it was going to be a little bit faster than that. I believe, who was his running mate? Truval, I believe. Those are two guys that I thought were both going to have better times. But this is also a guy that has played at LSU where they've had a Leonard Fournette. They've had another good running back with Geis there as well. They've had struggles with the quarterback position. The quarterback cannot throw the ball, and that's why they ran the ball a lot, and that's why they have such good running backs. And, again, they're just a product of what that situation was. I think Malachi Dupree is a much better wide receiver than getting drafted in the seventh round, pick 29. I had him personally as a fourth round grade, and I just think him going in the seventh was a slap in the face, and I think he's actually going to be a bigger part of this Packers offense than many people think.
All right, before we move on here to fantasy, I got to ask you guys, because talking about a guy like Malachi, right, who opinions differ, if it's you, would you rather be take money? I mean, obviously leave money in it, but would you rather be a early third round pick to the Chicago Bears? Sorry, I know what you're gonna say. early third round pick to the San Francisco 49ers, or a seventh round pick to a team like the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots? You know, something
give me
like that.
Give me the Packers just for the fact that look at some of their wide receivers. Abadaris, what, a year ago, 2 years ago. Unknown guy coming out and doing something. Davante Adams, yeah, he was probably a little bit higher drafted, whatever.
Second round, I believe.
Yeah, so, but at the same time, he wasn't that guy that was there lighting stuff up. You could be a later round guy and producing just as well. 2 years ago, we were talking about how shitty Davante Adams was.
I still think he's shitty.
And now he's doing a lot better. But there were guys coming up from the practice squad that were playing just as good as what he was doing or outperforming him. So I'd rather be a seventh round pick and going to the Packers and having that opportunity to do something.
See, I'm looking at it at the opposite side. If I was coming in your main goal should be to make the team.
Correct.
And to make the team as on the Green Bay Packers as a seventh round pick, it's going to be hard. But if you're drafted early by a shitty team, you're most likely going to make that team, collect a paycheck for at least your rookie contract, and have more of an impact just because there isn't as much talent on that team. Like, let's say...
Perfect example is Zay Jones.
Yeah. But you got Dupree. Yeah, he's very talented. I like what I see from him in college. But he's going in as wide receiver 6 or 7. If you're drafting the third round to the Niners as a receiver, most likely you're going to be receiver 2 or 3. And you have a much better chance of getting that play time. But I get your point. I would much rather have Aaron Rodgers throwing me the football. Yeah. And you'd probably really believe in yourself that if you just get that chance with a quarterback like that, you can make a difference.
Just an interesting concept, I think, of where people get drafted. So let's talk about fantasy football, and I'm going to hate doing this, but listen, this is what Josh pays me for in Graham Crackers, so I'm going to do it, goddammit. Aaron Rodgers, the number one fantasy quarterback last year. Listen, the guy's an absolute beast. One of maybe 3 quarterbacks that you would even consider drafting within the first, 2 rounds, right? I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that's fair to say. What more is there to say? He has multiple games, 3 touchdowns, multiple, 4 games with 4 touchdowns. The dude's a beast. We talked about them going on their 6-game winning streak. Tom and Josh both mentioned how he put the Packers on their shoulders. He didn't throw an interception after week 10. Threw 2 in week 10 and was flawless 11 through 17. That says a lot. That's hard to do in the National Football League. This is a guy who he's one of very few quarterbacks that you feel confident taking early and saying, hey, you know what? I got one of the top 2 best players at his position. The only thing I will say is there has been a couple seasons where he's been out with injury. So not that it's going to happen. Listen, any player can go down with an injury at any time. I get that. But, and this is my only but for them, with how the Green Bay Packers have ignored their offensive line and with the punishment that they've allowed Aaron Rodgers to take in the past, it should be something that is looked at and considered going into this season. And that's just me. It's not trying to hate on Aaron Rodgers. Just from a strictly fantasy perspective, listen, quarterbacks outside of the top 2 are a dime a dozen. If you waste a first round, or I shouldn't say waste, if you use a first or second round pick on someone like Aaron Rodgers, and then he goes down in an injury because he's getting sacked 30 times in a year, 40, 50 times in a year, it's pretty much cost you your season right there.
In all honesty, I am a little nervous about that offensive line for Green Bay, but I think they're – second-round pick last year, Jason Spriggs. Last year he was used primarily as a backup. I think he's going to step up, possibly play one of the guard spots, which will help their O-line out a lot. They still got 2 good tackles. Everything else you kind of got to be worried about, though, in all honesty. But there's no way that I'm going to try to project a down year for Aaron Rodgers. He's still got tons and tons of weapons, and we've seen what the kind of numbers he puts up when he has a healthy Jordy Nelson to throw to.
Yeah, same thing. You can't say that he's going to have a down year. He's just been Mr. Consistent for the most part, and I cannot go against one Aaron Rodgers. Plus, you're adding Martellus Bennett on the team as well. I think that's an upgrade over Cook. And
we will talk about that in a second. Please shut your mouth, Wang Chung. We're going to move on to the running back position. We talked about the people who were drafted, and those people were drafted to take the place of one Ty Montgomery, the Lone Ranger right now, outside of the rookies. Fat Eddie, James Starks, gone. Gone. See ya. Ty Montgomery, he's the only guy left. Listen, he did not actually start being a real running back until week 6. So you have to kind of take that into consideration when you look at his numbers. But he was the 38th ranked running back overall. That's with missing 6, or I should say 5 weeks, because one of those weeks was a bye. So, I'm sorry, 4 weeks, because one of those weeks was a bye. But he was very successful. Most of his success was catching the ball out of the backfield. He never had more. Those were all receiving yards. But he was majority wide receiver. He had the running back title. it is what it is. I do not care for Ty Montgomery personally.
Anyone that asks me, hey, should I be looking at Ty Montgomery? You know, he's the lead running back right now for the Green Bay Packers, one of the best offenses in the NFL. I tell them no every time. Right now, he's being taken as the 23rd running back in the 4th or 5th round in most leagues. I just think that's way too much. Yes, I am a believer in Jamal Williams, but you see the running backs that have been extremely successful in the Green Bay system. Normally, they're that big, bruising type of running back that can steal those goal line touches. And that is not Ty Montgomery's game. We saw him try to do that last year, and he was getting banged up. He destroyed the Bears one game. I think he scored well over 20 points. But besides that, he was just an average running back. He's going to be used primarily as that third down receiving running back. His value does go up in PPR, but in normal standard scoring, I would not touch him.
Yeah, same here. I could not. If I had Ty Montgomery on my fantasy football team, Mike Agent, I would not be a happy person at all, because he is going to get hurt by week 3. And if you do go with Ty Montgomery, you better be handcuffing him with one Jamal Williams.
I just really hope the Packers use him the right way and they don't try to make him that bell cow back that they need, that 4-minute offense, trying to run out the game, goal line back.
If they line him up in the shotgun with Aaron Rodgers and they do their draw plays, their swing passes, they do all that stuff the correct way, just like you said, he will be okay. But if they line him up in the I formation or in the single back and they're going to try to pound the rock, good luck. He is not going to make it past week 3 if you do that. Play it the right way, and he'll be all right.
I just look at the Green Bay Packers offense, and with that offensive line where it is, we've talked about it ad nauseum by now, right? What are they going to do against the Atlanta Falcons, the Seattle Seahawks, the New York Giants of the world? Without a running game, they are nothing.
Yep.
Without a running game, they are done. I'll tell you that right now. If they play, even if the Giants are the wild card going into Green Bay in the 2017 wild card playoffs, mark it down right the fuck now, Joshua. Steak dinner bet, the New York Giants win. Wow. That's how confident I am with no running game.
What if OBJ and all the receivers go on a boat trip again?
Boom. That was wild card weekend, so it wouldn't happen. Wasn't that wild card weekend?
They lost to the Packers.
Well, whatever. They'll be fine. My point is, their offense is actually worse. But let's get back to fantasy football. Okay, Tom? You got me all fired up now. The wide receiver, the place that they have no issues, no doubt. Probably the best, I believe, the best wide receiver core in football. Jordy Nelson, absolutely dominant, over 1,200 yards. Receiving just a hair shy of 100 receptions, 14 touchdowns. Devontae Adams, 3 yards under 1,000 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns. And then even the forgotten one, Randy Cobb. You know, Randy, I feel kind of bad for him. You know, the year Jordy got hurt, he was expected to do too much, right? So he didn't do very well. And then last year, it's like, oh, well, Jordy's back. Randy's going to be back too. And people were still drafting him pretty high. And people were like, oh, well, actually, Devontae Adams is going to step into this role. So I wonder what the role of one Randy Cobb is going to be. He still has 600 yards and 4 touchdowns. But, you know, he's the type of guy you're looking for late in a draft, in my opinion, as a steal. High upside, you know, low floor. But I love, listen, probably three of the, I would love to have any three of these guys on my team, in all honesty.
Right now, Devontae Adams is being drafted as the 25th receiver. Do you think that's right, guys? Or do you think he should be up there being Green Bay's number 2 wide receiver in my eyes?
Well, it's kind of tough because you still have Randall Cobb, like Tim alluded to. But Randall Cobb is obviously not the guy that he has been 2 to 3 years ago. But you got to remember, back in the day, Randall Cobb was also being used in that role that Ty Montgomery is being used in now. Not as a full-time running back, but a guy that was lining up in the backfield, and that's where he would do the running back, the out routes. He would do the angle routes, and he'd be getting the little dump-off passes. Now that he's not there, again, a former quarterback, mind you, he cannot take a ton of punishment. I feel like you can take Devontae Adams, and you should move him up a little bit higher than that number where he's ranked.
Randy Cobb. I just want to get your. I know we talked about it a little bit. In 2014, 8th ranked wide receiver. 2015, 26th. Last year, in 13 games, mind you, 52nd. Would you utilize Randy Cobb if he was there? I don't care what round, whatever round you decided to fill your number 3 wide receiver and or, depending on what kind of league you're in, your flex position. Would you utilize Randy Cobb in that role?
I don't think he's worth that right now. He's not being drafted that way right now. He's going in the 9th or 10th round. So you're getting him as your wide receiver 4 or your like pretty much your backup flex spot, which I think is good value. Like, I'm going to be honest, he's got a chance to be Green Bay's number 2 wide receiver. And the last 3 seasons, Green Bay's number 2 wide receiver has averaged right around 1,000 yards. Over 10 touchdowns and have finished in like the top 15 every year. So that's something you want to be a part of. With a healthy Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay's number 2 wide receiver is going to be a top 15 option.
You know, I'm very intrigued as well. Like if Devontae Adams does have a down year, which I don't think he will. I think he'll have a good year. But say Randy Cobb, right? He has a down year. It's very possible. Who would step up in his place? Would it be one Geronimo Allison who did very good last year? I think that's a very good possibility. And then there's also another guy that people talked about last year, and it was Jeff Janis.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't think Jeff Janis is the guy, but Geronimo Allison, I think he showed very good promise at the end of last year, and it could be a very strong possibility. And if you guys have not checked out, check out his picture. He looks like Scottie Pippen. Like, legit, they could be brothers.
So this is the best problem to have if you're a Green Bay Packers fan. Listen, Geronimo Allison came out last year, you know, 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns, but had some big plays for them. Listen, you talk about Jeff Janis. Jeff Janis and Ty Montgomery were argued back and forth like 2 years ago about who was going to be the number 3 wide receiver before Devontae Adams even came into the picture. Both those guys were supposed to be the Packers are fantastic at just next guy up mentality. Fill in roles, they're great at that. So it can be anyway. Geronimo Allison right now is probably pegged as the next guy after Randall Cobb.
And it's funny because I brought that up just for a fact. Like when we talked about Malachi Dupree, we could see that happen very easily with Malachi Dupree in this offense. If it does go that way, they like you said, they went Devontae Adams, they went Jeff Janis. It could easily be this year. Geronimo Allison, Malachi Dupree, if they're the next guys up. So. Yep.
Let's move on to tight end. We already talked about it a little bit, but Martellus Bennett added to the picture here. Martellus Bennett was, you know, fantastic last year. Top 10 tight end. Struggled a little bit at times in New England, but with Gronk gone, you know, he ended up getting that ring. He scored touchdowns in 3 of his last 4 games. He had that big game against Cleveland with 3 touchdowns. Had that big week 2 as well with over 100 yards and a touchdown. What are your guys' thoughts on Martellus Bennett as a Green Bay Packer?
On paper, Martellus Bennett should have his most successful career year this year. He is the guy. Technically, he was the guy last year for most of the season with Rob Gronkowski going out and getting injured. But he's lucky. Look, last year he played with Tom Brady. This year he's playing with Aaron Rodgers. And we've seen the Green Bay Packers, they've been able to produce quality tight ends, but they've seemed to struggle staying healthy. But we've seen them score a lot of touchdowns. And I think Martellus Bennett, he has a chance to score double-digit touchdowns this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting year for these tight ends because, again, you have Kendricks, you have Bennett, you still have Richard Rodgers. It's going to be very interesting. I think maybe because of that, we may not see the explosion that many people think that you're going to see out of one Martellus Bennett. I think it may temper expectations a little bit more.
Martellus Bennett is a guy that I am personally staying away from this year. He scares me. I feel like he's a little bit more name than production. In a place like Green Bay, that has so many weapons. He's one of three tight ends. Listen, he had the most production last year, obviously, with 700 yards and 7 touchdowns. But Lance Kendricks still had 500 or 499 and 2 touchdowns. Richard Rodgers, 271 and 2 touchdowns. These are guys that I feel like are going to – the Packers are very similar to the Patriots in the way that they'll go anywhere. They don't care. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter who you are. They're going to get the best out of their team they possibly can. I personally, with how the tight end stock market fluctuates so drastically, I am going to personally stay away from Martellus Bennett.
Speaking of one Lance Kendricks, he is going to come in with a chip on his shoulder because he's going to be pissed off. You want to know why?
Why, Josh?
He was 1 yard short of hitting 500. Hitting 500,
the bonus,
but the goddamn $250,000 bonus. God, what a ball buster.
Hopefully he has that in his new contract as well.
I hope his agent was like, hey, listen, he missed it by 1 yard. Just throw in an extra $250,000 so I can tell this guy, you know.
What do you think would have happened at that time? You think they would have went to the Rams and they said, he was Rams, right, last year?
Yep.
And they go, I know we missed it, but at least toss him 100.
Well, if I remember correctly, because I'm positive when we were talking about news, yeah, was like right at the last week. I'm pretty sure the story was he caught the ball and he made it, and then he was tackled for a loss, and that's why he ended up at 499. So it's even worse than just finishing at 499.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Well, that's all I have for fantasy. I'm not sure about you guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Again, Aaron Rodgers, I think top two rounds, you're going to see people reach in the first. I think that's absolutely crazy. I think late second would probably be like the earliest I would reach for him. And I shouldn't say reach for him. I would draft him. But that's just where I'm at. And then other guys, Davante Adams. I just feel like you said, Tom, you hit on it earlier. I think he's not getting the justification for the year that he had last year.
Yeah, it's just crazy seeing some of the receivers drafted ahead of him. You got Golden Tate, Sammy Watkins, Julian Edelman, Emmanuel Sanders. I just think he should be drafted above all of them. He was a top 10 receiver last year.
Yeah.
A lot of that was because of his touchdowns. But you have to go over what has happened in the past, what the number two wide receiver has done in that system year after year after year. Davante Adams, it's been a rough career for him. Last year, he finally broke out, but last year he produced like we've wanted him to produce for the last two seasons. 2 years ago, everyone was talking him up, drafting him in the fourth, fifth round, and he absolutely sucked. Everyone still thinks he had a terrible year, and he didn't. There's no reason he should be being drafted as the 25th receiver right now.
If it was your team, would you rather have a Jordy Nelson and let's call it Jay Ajayi to start your first two rounds, or let's say Davante Adams and what wide receiver is getting drafted in their second round? Early-ish, Tom, help me out here.
Early right now, it's like T.Y., Michael
Thomas.
All right,
Thomas, so let's say Ty. That's perfect. So Davante Adams and Ty, or Jordy and Ajayi.
Well, Devontae's not being drafted till round like 6.
Okay, well, all right. Give me a running back then getting drafted at the end of the first round. Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard and Ty Montgomery, or Jordy Nelson and Jay Ajayi.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton.
There you go. Stop mixing me up with people, damn it.
I would rather have Jordy and Ajayi.
I'm just saying, because listen, if you have a late first round pick, that's your dilemma, right?
Yeah.
You're either going to go running back there and then a top wide receiver after, more than likely, or vice versa. And that would be the type of situation you would be in.
Right now, I think Jordy has a claim, in my eyes, to be wide receiver 2. Look, Antonio Brown deserves to be number one. He's been probably the most consistent receiver in football. Julio, he's hit or miss. He's been missing games a lot. And I think Jordy, when he's on the field, he's been a touchdown machine. The last 5 years, he leads the NFL in receiving touchdowns, even though he missed a full season. OBJ, I love the player. He's awesome. But look at all the weapons they've added. His targets are going to go down. Same thing with Mike Evans. His targets are going to go down. AJ Green, he's been getting injured a lot. He's 29 years old. I don't think he'll be 30 when the season starts. But Jordy's up there in age as well. But just that connection him and Aaron Rodgers have is unreal. And I don't think any quarterback and wide receiver have it like they do.
I just feel like it's an interesting discussion because most people tend to lean on running back first round, running back first round, running back first round. And that may not always be the case. You may be able to go, you know, with that swing around snake pick, go wide receiver first, get a much better wide receiver value, and then still get a fantastic running back as well.
Yeah, if I'm pick 5 to 12 in the first round, if Jordy Nelson is on the board, he is my number one player. That's how confident I am in him this season. I would take him over any of the remaining running backs. Most likely the big three will be gone. Antonio Brown should be taken at 4, and I'd take Jordy over anyone else.
All right. Interesting. So with that being said, let's take a guess on the record this year in the year 2017.
We have seen the Packers be extremely dominant and be extremely terrible in the same season like last year. They have a tough schedule this year. They drew the NFC South, which in my eyes is probably the best division from top to bottom. I have the Packers going 11-5 this year and winning the NFC North.
I have the Green Bay Packers going 11-5 as well, Tom. I agree that they have a tough schedule, but listen, a lot of their tough games are at home. They play the Seahawks at home, then they go to the Falcons. That's their toughest game to start, but the Bengals at home is a win. The Bears at home is a win. Cowboys on the road is tough. Vikings, that's a toss-up. Saints at home, which is important. Lions, Bears, Ravens at home. You're getting the trend here. They end the year tough, you know, on the road, but even then, it's at the Browns, at the Lions. They play the Panthers on the road, which is, you know, can be tough, but I like the Packers schedule the most out of anyone in the NFC North.
I cannot wait for week 12 at Pittsburgh. Ooh, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I see them winning against the Seahawks. I see them winning against the Bengals and then winning against the Bears. And then I see them pulling off a six-game stretch to match their longest winning streak of last year. So I'm going to end up having the Packers at I'm going to go 12 wins this year.
Ooh,
12 wins.
So you have a game more, and I can see that. Like I said, their schedule I like a lot. Their toughest games are all at home this year. You know, the Steelers on the road is hard, and as is the Cowboys on the road and the Falcons. Those three road games are the toughest ones. I love Carolina on the road is hard, but it's not unbearable. And then the Browns on the road. Oh my, how are we gonna do that?
Yeah, what it comes to is having one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And when you have a player like that, you could win any football game. And you have a puncher's chance in any football game.
Yeah. And I believe I can speak for all of us. We have them winning the NFC North, not the Bears.
I would be shocked if the Bears won it or if the Packers didn't win it.
You know, and I feel like I can also speak for all of us when I say, fuck you, Mike Agent.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have the Packers having a very good year this year. So NFC North it's interesting. It's always interesting. So
it seems like it's always physical. The division always beats up on one another. Like Josh mentioned, I don't know if it was this episode or an episode earlier in the week, that, you know, no one's going to sweep the division.
Yeah.
It rarely happens in the NFC North. There's a lot of splits going on. So, you know, someone probably will push the Packers at some point, but the Packers are too talented. They're too strong. They are the number one team. I can't wait for the day. I hope I'm still alive when the Packers are dead. Mike Agent is not dead, but miserable, and some other team is on top.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
That's it.
All right, guys. That's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed our breakdown of the NFC North. And again, if you haven't checked out our previous episodes, do so. The Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears. And you guys can also check us out on Twitter, at PonyCakeSports, at PonyCakeTom, at PonyCakeTim. Email us, PonyCakeSports@gmail.com. Hit us up on our website, PonyCakeSports.com. And also check out our buddies on their website, CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Message them on Twitter. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. Check out all their articles, all that good stuff. So that's all we got for you guys. And I want to leave you guys with one last thought. Hard two! Hard two! Yeah.
Eye patch! I can't see! Fuck you, Mike!
That's all we got for you guys. Until next time.